Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Careful Clean, serving the Bay Area with exterior cleaning services, pressure washing, solar panel cleaning, and wood restoration services for residential and commercial clients. Careful-clean.com.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. California Democrats are still riding the high from last November's election. That means the state party's annual convention in Sacramento was focused on other things than competition from the Republicans. Here's House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi saying about as much.
We're not just there to win party seats. We're there to make progress for the American people. We're very policy-oriented people.
Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow was there and filed this report. You're simply
the best. With their pumped-up music, high-tech stagecraft, and high-definition video monitors plastering the convention center, California Democrats made it clear they're a party riding high. Senate President Daryl Steinberg laid out the party's big gains.
Thank you to all of the delegates for helping our state Senate and our state assembly achieve historic supermajorities in 2012.
But Democrats aren't quite sure what to do with all their clout. Steinberg, for instance, wants to push private companies to spend more money on education.
They can work with our teachers and parents and communities to fund high school career academies.
And billionaire environmental activist Tom Steyer, who bankrolled last year's Proposition 39 campaign, wants Democrats to use their two-thirds majority to pass an oil severance tax.
Because there has been a shale oil find in the state of California that is the biggest in the United States. It's 15 billion barrels. Now, I have no idea if that can be safely or profitably extracted, but I do know we better put in the tax before we find out.
Steyer was speaking about the Monterey Shale that runs across the center of California, where energy companies would utilize hydraulic fracturing to get that oil. While many convention-goers were wearing anti-fracking stickers, Steyer was the only speaker to address the topic. The most aggressive ideas came from Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who's running the state while Governor Jerry Brown visits China on a trade mission.
I think it's time to decriminalize, to tax, and regulate marijuana.
Newsom has clashed publicly with Brown, and at times he sounded more like an opposition candidate than a member of the governing administration.
1.8 million Californians actively seeking employment that cannot find work. A statewide unemployment rate of 9.6%, the nation's highest.
But for all the big liberal ideas on stage, many delegates mirror the caution Governor Brown is urging this year. Let the economy keep improving. Don't push too many big, expensive ideas at once.
I feel like if we kind of go crazy and get all kinds of liberal policies going, that we'll absolutely lose the majority.
Candy Easter is from the Central Valley, Kern County, so she's especially hesitant about keeping moderate voters happy. Brian Latto of the Napa County Young Democrats feels that way, too.
You know, of course, progressive issues are, you know, important, but I want to make sure that we don't go too far to the left and alienate the people in the middle who helped us get where we are right now.
Not everyone wants Democrats to keep the brakes on, of course. Barbara Wilson of Los Angeles County wants to hike corporate and drilling taxes to fund social work programs.
So now that we have a two-third majority, let's get it done. Let's get that money.
Though Governor Brown and legislative leaders have made it clear they're not too interested in pushing for more tax hikes so soon after Prop 30 and while the economy is still soft. The big questions on what to spend money on and what to tax will start being answered next month when Brown releases his revised budget. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
Governor Jerry Brown's trade mission to China wraps up in the next few hours. Back in the city of Guangzhou, where he signed new deals addressing climate change, Brown was asked by a Chinese reporter about U.S. restrictions on Chinese high-tech exports. The governor reframed the issue in his response.
We consider trade a two-way street, and as we break down barriers, we want China to break down their barriers, and together we will create greater prosperity.
Brown is scheduled to head to Shenzhen next to tour an electric vehicle plant. He flies back to California on Wednesday. Today, tens of thousands of people lace up to compete in the Boston Marathon. One of the grand marshals this year is the first woman to run the race back in 1966. Brooke Binkowski met up with her at a San Diego cafe before the big day.
Bobby Gibb didn't set out to become a feminist icon. It just worked out that way. She was born in Massachusetts in 1942 and loved to run, which was way out of the mainstream.
Women were not supposed to run in public. If you were a grown woman running in public, it was weird. Nobody ran. And there were very few male runners. There was no major city marathons. There were no running shoes.
And then one day her father took her to watch the Boston Marathon. It was love at first sight.
It was totally irrational, like falling in love. And I just fell in love with it. And something inside me just said, you're going to be part of this thing.
And Gibb had moved to California. From there, she applied to be in the 1966 Boston Marathon.
They said it was open to anyone in the world, and I didn't understand it was a men's division race.
Gibb got a letter back from the Boston Athletic Association telling her that the race was only open to men because women were physically incapable of running long distances.
So I sort of chuckled to myself, and I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. I'm going to turn the whole thing on its head.
Gibb decided to sneak into the race and run it alongside the men, to show that women could run long distances. She had her mother drop her off where the race began and hid in the bushes, wearing boys' shoes and shorts and a hooded sweatshirt to disguise her long blonde hair. It took the other marathoners less than a minute to figure out that she was a woman.
We got talking, and they said, gee, you know, I wish my girlfriend would run. I wish my wife would run. They wanted to share their love of running with the women in their lives.
The media frenzy began before she'd even finished the race, but really took hold after she finished ahead of two-thirds of the runners.
It wasn't just on the sports page. It was headlines, and it went out all over the world. It's like, and a lot of people still couldn't believe it. Did she really? Could she really run?
She could, and she did. Gibb ran several more races, with more and more women showing up to join her, until 1972, when the Boston Marathon held its first officially sanctioned women's division event. Gibb is now training to run the 2016 marathon, on the 50th anniversary of her first race. For the California Report, I'm Brooke Binkowski in San Diego.
That's the California Report for Monday, April 15th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. And the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org.